So the Ascension teaches us something very important about our mission as Christians. What is that exactly? Well, as I was praying about this and thinking about it, there was a phrase that came to my mind. So I hope you're ready for it. We are called to be divinized proclaimers. To be called to be divinized proclaimers. Which I also think would make a great book title or a band name, just saying. So what do I mean by that exactly, that we are divinized proclaimers? Well, when Jesus ascends to heaven, he is making his return to the Father, and he's pointing us in the direction of where we need to go with our lives. We are called to be divinized after we die. Now, that doesn't mean that we become like mini gods. That might be the image that sort of comes to our mind. But we are called to be saints, to be in heaven with God for all eternity, to give praise to him for all eternity. And the only reason that that is possible, as our second reading from the letter to the Hebrews points out, is because the Lord, through his sacrifice on the cross as the great high priest, enters the sanctuary. So while this was done in the Old Covenant with different animal sacrifices, and while those were maybe fitting or sufficient for the moment, they could never really fully restore what was lost. You needed something greater than that. You needed the Son of God to be able to do that, to be able to restore us to our proper place. Only Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, could enter the sanctuary of heaven by his blood being poured out for us on the cross. And so through his sacrifice, and also by his ascension to the Father, he has made it possible for us to be able to return to the Father. He opens the way of heaven for us. And that has important consequences in this life, because that means that all of our actions have consequences for our salvation. All of our actions can either lead us towards salvation or away from salvation. So the good works that we do in this life, the sufferings we endure, the sacrifices that we make in this life, all of them, when they are united to the sacrifice of Christ, they have some value to them. And every time we receive the Holy Eucharist, the body and blood of our Lord, in which we remember in a very real and present way that sacrifice that he made for us, we are uniting ourselves to him. And so all the things that we do become transformed through the Holy Eucharist. And so by doing that, that leads us to glory, because we're doing these things, but also receiving the grace of the Lord through these things, so that we can be led to glory. So all of this points to our end, which is heaven, to be divinized, to praise God for all eternity with all the angels and saints. And I think on these days of the Ascension, we should really think about that. We should really contemplate that image of what we're called to be, that we are called to praise God for all eternity. That's a really beautiful thing. But I said we're not just called to be divinized, but we are called to be divinized proclaimers. So divinized points to the end of our mission, where we're going, but the other part of our mission is that we proclaim God's kingdom here on earth. And he gives an indication of this to the disciples in two places that we see in our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles. So first, as they're gathered in Jerusalem, the disciples ask if the Lord is going to restore the kingdom of Israel. And what Jesus tells them is that the Holy Spirit is going to be sent for them to be the Lord's witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the ends of the earth. It'd be like if Jesus said, I want you to proclaim the good news in Dodge City and maybe Kinsley or Sevierville or Cimarron and to all the ends of the earth, not just locally in those places. So the Lord is sending them out. The other thing that happens is that after Jesus ascends, he is then surrounded by two men who are dressed in white garments. And the men tell his disciples, men of Galilee, why are you looking up at the sky? The Lord has been taken up into heaven and he will return in the same way. Now, I'm sure after seeing the ascension, you don't see someone ascend into heaven every day. The disciples were probably awestruck at this moment, at this experience, just as all of us probably would be. We probably all would be looking up at the sky, wondering what just happened. Wow, that's amazing. So I think we can understand the disciples' reaction. But it does seem that Jesus' response to them about sort of their question about restoring the kingdom and his response, and also the man in white's response to them about not staring up at the sky, that can seem a little harsh maybe for what's going on. But in both cases, what they are being asked to do is not just stand around and wait for the second coming to happen. They are called to go out. They are called to go out and convert others to Christ. Because yes, Jesus will return someday, a day of which we don't know the day or the hour. But we shouldn't just be standing around and waiting for that to happen. And there are groups in the world that do that, that spend their time trying to figure out when Jesus is going to come again and sort of have an apocalyptic mindset about this that can even exist in the church too, that we have to get everything just right and all the things have to align for the Lord to be able to return. And while there are signs that will accompany Jesus' return, we don't want to just spend our time looking up at the sky just waiting for something to happen or just hoping that we get everything right before Jesus is going to return. Instead, what the disciples are called to do and what we are called to do is to go out and proclaim the gospel by our words and also our witness of our lives. Because the kingdom of God comes about through the visible church, proclaiming the salvific message of Jesus Christ to all peoples, planting the seeds of the kingdom. And also by us giving our lives for that salvific message, whether that is in real martyrdom or just sort of a white martyrdom that we might offer in our lives. We shouldn't just be standing around hoping, well, gee, I hope someone else goes out and proclaims that message for me. I don't really want to do that. I don't feel qualified to do that. Well, all of us have a part in that mission as baptized Christians. Prayer and proclaiming the gospel, those are the two things we don't get out of in this life. We have to go out and be able to do that, to fulfill that mission. At both parts of the mission, being divinized, as I mentioned before, and also being a proclaimer, both of those things are not unrelated. They go together. I've never heard of any saint that I've studied or heard stories about in the church that didn't proclaim the gospel. Now, they might have done it in different ways. They might have been missionaries in far-off foreign lands. They might have interacted in their parish or the people that they encountered. They might have lived out family life. They might have been in a convent or a monastery in some kind of a cloister where they were praying and offering sacrifices for the conversion of souls. But either way, they were proclaiming the gospel. They all understood that to be a saint meant that they had to live for others, and that others had to come to the knowledge of salvation in Christ. And that's our mission as well. So to ask the Lord, Lord, how are you calling me to go out and proclaim the good news to those around me? How am I called to do that through the very witness of my life so that I can be in heaven with you for all eternity? So we don't just sit on the sidelines and look up at the sky hoping that the kingdom will return. We should go out and be divinized proclaimers.